our review right now. And, oh, Martin.
Oh, no, Corey.
I'm just happy that Hollywood is there to actually show us how race relations really should be and help us improve on race relations. I think that without things like Driving Miss Daisy or Bag of Vance, the classic radio, I don't think without these masterpieces of cinema out there that race relations would be what they are today. Fucked up. No, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who can tell you how all people of different backgrounds should get along with each other. There's a lot of people out there who have ideas that say, hey, you know, this is how people should think so that we can all get along as one human race. But nobody puts that wisdom out there like Hollywood, boy.
You know? Well, if they don't say it, who's going to do it?
Oh, Martin, wouldn't that... It ain't because what we've learned from Hollywood is like, man, we could all get along if white people would just sit back, be cool, and open the door for that mystical, magical Negro to come into their lives and teach them the gift of laughter and football.
How to better their golf swing.
How to better their golf swing,
take
man.
Take care of their kids.
Yeah. How to make a shit pie. You know, all kinds. We've learned so much from Hollywood. And now we have that with this film right here, The Upside. And a lot of people, you know, I find it funny that a lot of people were looking at the trailer for this. And people were sending me things. They said, oh, wow, Corey, it's just what you asked for. Kevin Hart, finally in a drama. the dramatic debut of former comedian Kevin Hart. In this, he plays a streetwise criminal who's come into a job where he has to help a quadriplegic man played by Bryan Cranston. You know, he was about to actually maybe walk out on the job, but then he came in like, damn, this dude got money. Sure, I'll wipe his ass. Why not? You know, he comes in and the guy has money. The guy doesn't, he finally realizes like, wow, you know, I got billions of dollars, but money can't get me a new body. You know, all that robotic technology we're talking about, putting my brain in another head, that ain't here yet.
Yeah, if he just gives it another 12 years, he'll be all right.
Yeah, if he'll just shut up and let this black man wipe his ass and just kind of coast through life, he might get there. But for now, he says, you know something, I don't have too much to live for, so I'm going to hire the worst person possible to come in and take the job of caretaker. And who knows? Maybe this guy will actually get something right and kill me. Maybe he'll screw up one day and accidentally cut off the oxygen, you know? Maybe he'll forget to wipe my ass and I'll have an infection or something. But along the way, as you can see from this frame right here, whatever positions they are in life, whatever the job might require them to do, what really matters is that they have learned about each other, regardless of their different backgrounds. Oh, let's go ahead and take this next life lesson in racial harmony from Hollywood with this trailer for The Upside, and we'll be back with our review.
You need to prove you're looking for work.
I've been looking, trust me.
3 signatures by tomorrow, or you can tell it to the judge. Tell me about a time when you worked hard to solve a problem.
This morning, getting up.
We're gonna find you someone you like.
Let me be your arms and your legs.
I love that. All right.
Penthouse.
You need to wait your turn.
Relax, it's not a holdup. Just sign this from the police.
How would I sign it?
I don't know. Slowly? Wait, don't your arms work?
They don't.
You can move your mouth.
As can you. I need assistance.
How much does it pay? Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. It's my bad, man.
You are not qualified for this position.
Then buckle!
Have you ever changed a catheter?
Nah.
Pinch the head, insert.
I can't feel it.
Oh, well, I can. You want to feed your soul? Then listen to its queen. Think about what you're trying to do to me. It's amazing, ain't it? Sound just like her.
Yeah, it's uncanny.
You think. He was rich as Jay-Z?
No, richer.
Hell!
Which car is yours?
All of these to the right.
Oh my God.
They're not practical.
Exactly. You can have any girl you want.
What about this lady with all the Botox?
I'll be perfect for each other. You can't move your body and she can't move her face.
Surprise! I specifically said nothing for my birthday.
I'm sorry you gotta have a surprise party in your huge mansion. Some of us got real problems. I'm fighting to see my son.
And whose fault is it? Is it yours or is the world out to get you?
Are you mad? You wanna break this big ass bottle of wine? Yeah! What else you wanna do?
The ball.
Oh! Not the fireplace! You read it.
I know. Had that been the whiskey, it would have done that.
You read it, look like his body's burning right now.
Wait, no, not that one!
Extinguish!
What?
Dell made a mess. So I surrender.
Baby. This is the moment.
So Martin and I were having a discussion earlier about a certain movie that this is based on. So this is based on the 2011 French film The Untouchables, which, if you look at the trailer, it looks like it follows this to almost the same beats. However, I do not, even after watching this movie, Martin says that he swears that we saw this together. I do not recall this movie at all.
No kidding.
No. And look, I'm not saying, man, I could have been drunk or high or something. I don't know. You know, so I'm not even arguing with you. I'm just saying that I don't remember the movie because I watched this trailer earlier, and it looks like this movie does follow this pretty closely.
It does.
And so, but as I watched the upside, this film did not... It did not bring back one memory of that film at all. I'm not saying that I wasn't inebriated or something.
Well, no, it was in the middle of the week on like a Tuesday morning, no, a Friday morning at the Violet Crown.
So okay,
I doubt you would have been hungover.
Okay, Martin. Okay. Thursday night.
I'm trying to give you the trying to give you the benefit of the doubt here,
Martin. Thursday is very close to Friday. You know, I get a head start on these things, man. In this. This movie, The Untouchables, this French film, is based on a true story. It's based on the life of, now, I don't want to botch this man's name up because he's already having a hard time in life.
Don't call him Mega Doodoo.
Philip Pozo Pussy. Mega, Philip Pozo Coon King. No, Philip Pozo DeBorgio. As you can probably tell from the trailer, very wealthy guy, has some money invested in real estate, owns a big hotel that's a huge venue, but in a, what was it, a paraboarding?
Parasailing.
Parasailing accident.
Yeah. Paragliding.
Paragliding. Like, there you go. He was flying when he shouldn't have been. And ended up having an accident that confined him to a wheelchair. He has no... feelings really, or no movement from the neck down, and he brings in this in the French film. I guess he brings in like a African guy that comes in and to help him.
He's an immigrant,
African immigrant guy to take care of him. Here we have Kevin Hart, who's just kind of a hood guy, you know, a guy who's coming from a very poor community who is desperate for money, can't find a job, can't take care of his kids, can't take care of his wife. Or his kid, and can't take care of his wife, and has no choice but to take this job right here, even though, as you can tell from the trailer again, he's not qualified for it. I want to tell you something, man. The movie opens up really, it opens up with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston, but from that point on, they go into what led up to the moment that you see at the beginning, and really starts out with Kevin Hart. And no, this is not the dramatic debut of Kevin Hart like you think. But there are dramatic moments with Kevin Hart here. And I got to tell you, I think, I've never been one of those people who said that Kevin Hart wasn't funny. I said, I think he's been in some things that themselves aren't funny.
Right.
And I think that he's, and my biggest complaint with Kevin Hart is that Kevin Hart they hired Kevin Hart to do the same shit over and over in every movie. We finally getting something a little different from Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is being Kevin Hart in certain parts, but when he's on screen with Bryan Cranston, or when he's having moments where he's having a rough time with his family, or he's having a rough time out there trying to get by, those are moments where Kevin Hart has to pull it back and be a little more serious, and I think it works. I actually enjoy Kevin Hart. It was a nice balance of the Kevin Hart we know and the new Kevin Hart we kind of see right here. All right, Kevin Hart we don't see that much of.
Well, that's what I thought with this movie is that, you know what, even everybody who likes or loves Kevin Hart is going to love Kevin Hart. And even people who hate Kevin Hart could watch this and go, all right, he's okay here.
Yeah.
Because it's I wouldn't necessarily say it's a dramatic vehicle for him.
No.
But it's the most dramatic vehicle he's had ever, because he has chances a lot of times to act where he's not. It's not about him being funny. It's about him connecting with his co-stars.
This is not Kevin Hart has turned into that comedian now. That comedian that is so successful, and people pay to see Kevin Hart are paid to see that successful comedian. That's all they want to hear is just wisecracks, mm-hmm. just one joke after another, just a lot of ad libbing that's going on.
What's he gonna say next?
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's no acting, there's no real dialogue. It's like, hey, you know what? People are here to see you. The movie, you know what? Just sign. We'll write the script after, and that's what you've been getting with Kevin Hart. You're right. This is Kevin Hart acting. I mean, look how emotional he is right there. You've never seen Kevin Hart squint his eyes like that. At least I haven't. And with him and Bryan Cranston together, man. Now, Bryan Cranston, we already know Bryan Cranston, Oprah.
Yeah.
You know, no, we ain't nobody worried about him. What people are worried about is Kevin Hart stepping on Bryan Cranston. Mm-hmm. Shit, but people think that the real Bryan Cranston is going to be a real quadriplegic by the time Kevin Hart is done with him. But no, man, I think that they are very good together.
They are. And I don't know if you notice how so much of the movie in the beginning focused so much on Kevin Hart that Bryan Cranston was almost like a lesser star in the movie.
Yeah.
Until they finally said, okay, now we can bring you forward. It's almost as if they said, okay, listen, if we don't get this fool enough time to have the spotlight and get it out of his system, we never get the performance we need out of him. So let him be the show for a while. He's good. All right. Now let's make it even.
What they didn't want to do is they didn't want to upset the black people that came to see Kevin Hart.
Right.
They didn't want to show too much Bryan Cranston and have these niggas in the theater talking about, man, why are we talking about this crippled white man? Where Kevin Hart at?
I paid to see Kevin Hart.
God damn, one of these Spike Lee joints and shit. Man, come on. Where that nigga gonna be funny? You know, I know they put him up front to make the audience, the demographic that came to see Kevin Hart be quiet. It was shut the fuck up casting and editing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's cool.
I mean, it's what you gotta do, you know, it's giving everybody what they want.
It really is, man. You get to see Kevin Hart come in and Kevin Hart do his funny thing, but then Kevin Hart gets to ease into like the more serious parts of the movie, and then we ease into the more serious parts of the movie with Bryan Cranston.
Right. Now one thing I thought was kind of brave of him is in that early part with Kevin Hart is that despite him being funny, he's quite an unlikable character, which is kind of how it was, which is very much how it was in The Untouchables. When that character that Omar Sy plays comes in, he's just a big...
He's about to beat this woman.
No, that's kind of how he is.
Bitch, what you say?
He's very British. He's kind of thuggish. And it's just a feeling of like, I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you know, I don't want to stereotype black people, but this nigga was scaring me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like Barbecue Becky, but I'm about to call the police. Well, what's he doing? He's standing there. Looking scary.
Yeah, and in the original, the French guy, he's not as charming as Bryan Cranston. He's pretty crabby through a lot of it also.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not see this movie because I have no basis to compare this on, man, like you are right now. Because you are telling me things that I want to know. Mm-hmm. I want to know if these characters are coming across like they are, because you were right. Kevin Hart is not likable at all, man. He pretty much, and almost to a fault as far as I think some of the writing goes, he is that stereotypical black guy that you that you see. He is lazy. Yep. He don't want to get a job.
He's selfish.
Let me say this for a little bit, because I'm trying to say some nice things about this movie, and I'm trying to be really fair, because I'm gonna get to him in a little bit, because I still got some nice things to say. Like, you know what? I like the filmmaking. There's a lot of stuff in here that I saw the trailer, like him, you know, singing with Bryan Cranston doing Aretha Franklin, you know, the scenes where I really start to cringe, where I thought they were gonna get into scenes where he took that shower. Because it's just like those scenes in a goofy ass movie,
sure.
You know, a real Hollywood goofy comedy where he doesn't know how to work the shower. So, you know, this becomes a comedy of errors and a little bit of physical comedy going on. And I thought, you know something, okay, this is where the movie's going, into this goofy area of comedy that I thought that this would go, betraying everything that they set up. Actually, the filmmaking stays kind of on more of a dramatic tone.
It does.
Yeah, it's and you know, there's nothing silly about the filmmaking at all. They you know, even with the comedy, they try to take it in more of a almost a feeling of an independent movie approach.
Yeah, well,
that's what it felt like.
And you never lose the fact that it's dealing with a serious subject, because so many of the lesser movies would have had some Weekend at Bernie scenes in it.
Yeah,
and this manages to not do that.
Yeah, yeah, there would have been a point where Kevin Hart would have had Bryan Cranston's arms on strings.
Yeah, or dragging him with a car.
Yeah,
and not just driving, not knowing he was back there. While his speed going, oh, yeah,
yeah. You know, that's we don't get any of that in here, man. You know, that's cool. There are even moments in here where where Kevin Hart's not in there. There's some deep emotional and very moving parts in here with Kevin Hart and without Kevin Hart. There's one with Bryan Cranston in particular. I'm not going to mention what it is, but there's one with him later on in the movie where it's awkward. It's very uncomfortable, but at the end, it's just you just feel so sad for him. Mm-hmm. And well, you know, you didn't want to give him any sympathy because he's been fighting it the whole time. You know, if there's anything that he can do, he look like there are moments where he gets so mad and people piss him off so much, you can see that hand just kind of twitching, ready to slap the shit out of somebody. Just a little bit.
It's like he's looking at his hand like, just move this one time. I just need you for this.
Well, he is trying to slap you with his pupils sometimes. But you know, that. So there are moments in here where I'm really into the movie. However, there's a lot here that goes into what I don't like about these kind of Hollywood race relation films. They always go into this formulaic area that that I've seldom ever seen really work. The only time I saw it work was in another movie this year, where I didn't even think it would work there, but somehow it did. But with this is not doing anything that we haven't seen these movies do. And for an audience out there that is not out there looking as closely to these movies like Martin and myself do, that might be entertaining. But for me, and this even goes on a personal level, and I will let you know right now that it is strictly a personal level. I you know that in this day and age, I do not like the subservient black people movies, man. I'm not a big fan of The Help. Definitely don't like Driving Miss Daisy. Mr. Church, Eddie Murphy did a great job in that, but that was it was one of those things where he came in to bring enlightenment to the white family while he was kind of a guy that was kind of a side character. And they don't do that completely with Kevin Hart here, but we get into that area a little bit. What we see here is Kevin Hart coming in, and first of all, being a stereotype. I mean, and it wouldn't be bad. Like, I know the condition of black poverty. I know people like Kevin Hart exist. I know, because that's going to be the complaint. Well, should we just not show people like this because they exist? We see that all the time. with these kind of characters. You know, and we're living in a time where we're getting different voices heard from different filmmakers. You know, real issues are being put out there. They're not sugarcoated like they're trying to do with something right here. Or they're not delivered in the way that it is with this character. Kevin Hart, to me, they laid it on thick. The dude, like I said, he can't take care of it. He is a deadbeat dad. He's lazy and shiftless, don't want no job. He's a thief. I don't want to see this whole movie where, he's turned his life around because it took the push of a white person that he brought joy to make that happen. That's a huge cliche in these films that I'm just not into. And to me, that's the case that they have right here. Maybe that doesn't bother some people out there, but it's definitely something that
kind of thing bothers me, but it didn't here. And I know a lot of it is based on the fact that I knew the source material it came from. So it was already established.
Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, like I said, I'm just not interested. I mean, there are other movies out there that are not telling the same story like we see here. And like I was saying, you know, at this point, and that's another thing, you know, and when he comes in, I mean, he's still, this is a guy who he can't take care of his family, but he's still that kind. He's still that player, you know, that black dude. That's, even though he can't take care of the kid, he already got. He's still always trying to fuck something.
Each arm, full range of motion. Always both sides. Any questions?
Yeah. Have you thought about how you're gonna tell your boyfriend you met someone else?
I'll show you how to get Mr. Lacoste ready for the day.
If you're not too busy.
No, me and Mags got this. Get to show him my sensitive side. It's best viewed unclothed and from behind.
You're like, if I could whoop your ass with my eyes right now, I would do it. You're like, God, just give me the strength to just jump out this chair and beat the shit out this black midget right now, please. Please.
It's funny because in the original, when it's Omar Sy doing that, because he was very sexually aggressive with all these women that came in there. But you look at him, you're like, well, he is a big, handsome dude.
Yeah.
As opposed to Kevin Hart, you're like, man, sit down.
I think Kevin Hart's a handsome dude, too, you know. And believe me, Kevin Hart tries to make up for it. There's a clause in his contract where he has to walk around for about 20 minutes with no shirt on. Just to link.
Yeah. It's that Matthew McConaughey clause.
Yeah, he's gonna let you know.
And
look,
that Ryan Reynolds clause. He's like, well, if they got that, I want that too.
Shit, Kevin Hart trying to tell people, I might not go high, but I'll go wide. And you know, I like Kevin Hart, but this to me, this is the movie where it's like, all right, you know something, and there he is, right there. That wasn't even in the script.
Put a shower scene in there, man.
And it's funny because that shower scene, are you like, that didn't need to be in there.
It really didn't. It was let him have his comedy moment,
uh-huh,
right there. And it's mainly for the audience.
Right, right.
So they can get that you know, that pure Kevin Hart. But, you know, for me, it really does go into that area of like, okay, even though we see more of Kevin Hart's backstory in this than we do in something like all these other movies, like The Help or Bag of Vance or anything else like of that type, Mr. Church and some of the others I mentioned, he's still a magical, mystical Negro, man. He might as well be flying in on fairy wings.
I don't know, man, because often with the magical Negro, the Negro comes in, helps the white people, and then leaves no better or worse than they were before. But this is a movie where both of these guys help each other out.
Yeah, but going through the same cliches that we always see. You know, we saw it in the trailer. There's always that scene where, oh man, your music is way too corny. You know, let me bring you. You know, let me enlighten you with my black music.
Hey,
what?
I'll get the shower ready.
I want that on.
No, man. Look, I get you trying to block out the world, but can you at least do it to better music?
Have you ever listened to opera?
Yeah, opera's really big in prison. You could hardly get a seat on opera night. Why can't we listen to Aretha? Hmm? You want to feed your soul? Then listen to its queen. Think about it. Yeah. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Think. It's amazing, ain't it? I sound just like her.
Yeah. When I close my eyes, which I needed to, it's uncanny. It's like identity theft.
Surprised they just didn't start breaking out an old Negro spiritual or something right there.
You know, I cringed during that scene because I was like, great, another one of these. They always feel like they have to put this in there. But then later it led to something and led to something else. So I was like, all right, there was a purpose for this, and I get it. I'm okay with it.
And it led to another stereotype, too. Negroes can't shut up in a theater. You know, you can't shut up. Can't shut up in a theater. Can't shut up at the restaurant. It's just like, wow, man, I don't need to see this right now. I at least for me, I'm not saying that no one else needs to see that, but I've seen this over and over again. And even if we took it out, I mean, these are formulaic things that to me, for myself, are very trite. Now, and again, I'm not saying that there's not any enjoyment to be had in the movie. I did enjoy certain parts of it. Probably more than I would in any other movie of this type in a while. That depends so much on the formulas that we see here. But yeah, for as much as I was enjoying Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston, I don't think, you know, they elevate this up to a certain level that if you didn't have two guys who were like as talented as they were. Mm-hmm. Who really had the timing that they did on dramatic and comedy levels, you wouldn't have a very good, you would have a terrible movie. They lift this up a little bit, but for me, they can only lift it up so high, and they can't, you know, and it cannot lift, they can't take it too far above the tired cliches that we see with movies of these type. But that, you know, like I said, I'm almost about to get my rating for this because I wouldn't, you know, this is something I wouldn't want to encourage anybody to go out and see, but I definitely would watch this as a rental, man, in a very, you know, in a very good rental. But as far as the theater goes, man, I'm not in a rush out to see this kind of genre anymore, at least not done this way. Even though, as I said, the talent here is very good. I really like the kid that played Kevin Hart's son, mm-hmm. too, who doesn't have a whole lot of time in the movie. But there are some really good moments between them together too that I liked, and I that's one of the levels of the film that I thought, okay, this is what's making it rise above what we normally see, because Kevin Hart is actually going in, and we're getting to see this really tender side of him that we hardly get to see, moments like that shine in there. But yeah, it's a rental for me, man. And like I say, it's all right rental.
Okay. Well, I was dreading this movie because I'm such a fan of the original French movie, The Untouchables, and I thought, man, Kevin Hart is going to make it louder and goofier and Americanize it to a point where it's like, oh, it's just going to be a travesty and I'm going to hate it the whole time. And it turns out, no, not so much. They definitely did Americanize it, and I knew they would, but most of the decisions I was okay with. Notwithstanding those cliches you're talking about, it's just to be expected in this kind of movie. I mean, it follows the structure of the French movie, so I can't fault it for any of that. And so many of the decisions that got made were like, okay, this works. You found a way to please the Kevin Hart audience and an audience who just wants to see a movie where he's not being foolish. That's something kind of dramatic. The trailer is cut poorly in as much as it makes you roll your eyes and go, oh great, this again. But there's actually more to it than that. It knows how to play things down. And it's really found a way to be a crowd pleasing movie without being insulting to your intelligence. It is comfort food, no doubt about it. But I found myself enjoying it pretty much all the way through. Some cringing scenes, sure, and some things, it could have been better, and I still prefer The Untouchables, but not by such a wide margin. I would give it a high matinee.
Yeah, maybe I saw it too close after something like Green Book. Green Book.
No, Green Book was Green Book is a high full price.
But Green Book,
that's one of the best movies of 2018.
I don't need to see the poor, you know, the poor black stereotype coming in, even helping the white stereotype in the movie, where they, you know, the trade-off is, I'm going to give you some culture and you're going to give me fun. You're going to show me how to dance and expose me to your music. You know, with Green Book, I didn't get anything like that, man. Green Book was, you know, these two guys were, they were, one being very much an Italian stereotype, but, you know, I learned from something from this movie where, one, I did not know about the Green Book. I learned a little bit of history. The other thing is that I'm not exposed to another black stereotype. I'm actually introduced to a character that Hollywood is not used to showing us. You know, this man who is a virtuoso, a genius, who has self-respect and pride. That's the kind of shit I want to see. I don't want to see these fucking black stereotypes anymore in these movies, man. And I've seen too many other movies coming from directors of different places and voices now where it makes something like this look outdated, especially in you know, especially in with on the heels of something like Green Book, which Green Book is even something I don't even like as much as I did before after learning about how they just made up a lot of shit in there.
Sure.
But they still, for me, made somewhat more of an original story and exposed me to more things that I hadn't seen before, things I learned about than, you know, the typical thing. But like I said, man, I get it. I see how people out there, you know, can enjoy this as a crowd-pleasing movie. Well, just I made it very well known. That's just a personal thing with me. But I did not overgeneralize the movie and say like, oh, it's bullshit like all these other films. No, I think I recognize it for the things that it actually achieves. You know, which I think people will probably even enjoy more than myself, such as you, or maybe these guys over here.
Yeah,
you know,
they felt differently.
Yeah, I don't know. I let's talk to the youth over here. These guys are. I can tell when Martin disagrees with you because Martin just shuts down. He just be sitting there like, man, I ain't going to say shit until he
comes. Sometimes you get on your soapbox and no matter what I say, you're not going to actually go like, well, that's a good point. You're like, no, I got something to say and I'm going to say it.
No, I actually said I get where you're coming from. I didn't say I did not say that. You wrong. I did not say it at all. I said, hey, man, I get where people enjoy it. I said it's personal for me.
I know. But okay, when you say, hey, it's just personal for me, there's really nothing I can say to that.
You can say, shut the fuck up. You know? You don't know what you're talking about, Corey Coleman.
It's not personal for you.
Oh, let me see. Because both these guys saw the movie. Jake, move over a little bit. You got that mountain in my shot right there.
Sorry.
No, sorry. Martin, maybe you can move over a little bit. Let him have some room over there. Let me see. Yeah, move him over a little bit.
Sit up.
Boy, daddy on your ass. Quit slouching. Yeah, Jake, you were sitting next to me. I could not tell how you were reacting to this. Sometimes you chuckled and sometimes you just sat there just stone cold. That says nothing. I was really curious to see what you thought about this.
So it is a little personal for me. My grandfather's handicapped. He's a polio survivor. So a lot of stuff that Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston do in his house, I've had to do that multiple times, and I've gone to see shows with my grandpa before. You know, I watched this movie 15 minutes in. I'm like, you know, this is actually a really good Kevin Hart movie. 20 minutes in, liking it. About 50 minutes in, I'm like, wow, I think this is one of the best films of the year, and it's only the beginning of the year. Then there's a certain point at Bryan Cranston's birthday party, as seen in the trailer, where his creepy neighbor says something to him. And I said, oh no, please don't tell me you're going to become this predictable. And then they did, and I said, God damn it. So, I think Kevin Hart's great. I think Bryan Cranston's great. I think Nicole Kidman is great. You guys didn't mention her. I thought she was great.
Because I didn't think she was really. I didn't think she had to have. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up because that was something I wanted to mention. Nicole Kidman in the movie. I have to say, man, I don't really think that she offered much at all in the film.
I don't think she offered much. I just thought she did good for the material she was given.
I thought she, you know, I thought she was there to be one person.
Sure.
And to be cranky. Kevin Hart was there to provide a lot of comedy for Bryan Cranston. Nicole Kidman was there just to, like, discipline and scold.
Sure.
Bryan Cranston most of the time. I thought for somebody who, you know, she's, I tell you what it is for me. Yeah. She's there for the name.
Sure.
To get people, look, all-star cast, including Nicole Kidman, who doesn't really do much shit in the movie. But, I mean, but you liked her.
Yeah, I thought she was fine, you know, and I was trying to figure out, because they kept saying, based on a true story. I'm like, should I, you know, ding it for the cliches and predictability because, you know, it's based on a true story, or should I not do that? And I'm like, no, you know, if I didn't like the film as much as I should have, I get to ding it.
No, that's true. No, I mean, listen, you're not going to that man in that wheelchair and saying, man, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, even I don't like in the story. Untouchables at the end, they show a picture of the two guys, and the guy, the helper, looks nothing like Omar Sy or Kevin Hart.
Oh, I saw that dude. He's light. He's kind of a light-skinned dude. Yeah. So, no, the thing that we've learned from a lot of biopics that have happened, Cinderella, man, Bohemian Rhapsody, even Green Book, Hollywood makes up things. You are not looking at the real story. You're looking at pretty much a fictionalization of it. So, yeah, you ding the movie. You're not doesn't you dinging this man's life right here.
No, not at all. The cinematography is absolutely spectacular, very beautiful. They set up a subplot, and they go nowhere with it. It was with Kevin Hart and his old drug dealer friend or thief friend or whatever. They go nowhere with that. I'm like, are you going to go back to that or no?
That is true, man. That you know what?
I, 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 I don't know if it was necessarily a subplot. It's more like we set him up at here's one more threat that's happening here. One extra thing Kevin Hart has to worry about.
But the thing with that is they didn't even really go through with the threat. They just had him there, and then they had the son like walk past him, and then there was like this thing looming, but they never.
It's a setup more than it is an actual story plot. Yeah. It's just it's something real quick to say like, oh, be wary for Kevin Hart, you know. And it seemed like those two guys had a complicated relationship that they didn't follow through on. I agree with you on that completely.
Yeah. I was really trying to love the film, and it ended up being a big disappointment. The only thing that gets by from this being a rental is Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston's chemistry. I give it a low matinee.
All right, what about you?
I actually liked it. I recently saw The Untouchables. Wait, when did you see it when it came out?
Yeah.
Like, so I think I saw it like 2 years ago, in college, but. I like The Untouchables much better just because it seemed more serious the whole time this was happening. I just felt like Kevin Hart was just making... I didn't want to say he was making a mockery of it because I was laughing at some of his jokes, but it just felt like a little bit too much.
It's a little too much.
Yeah, it's a little too much. The whole time he was joking, I was like, okay, like we get it. And that scene that you were talking about at the birthday party when he got angry and they were throwing things, I was just like... It just... That scene felt very out of place.
Yeah.
And... So I feel like I would give it a rental. I wouldn't pay for it in the theater, but I would watch it. Like if my dad was like, "Want to watch this movie?" I'd watch it.
Yeah, and pretty much if your dad made you watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. She gets me there. There she. I know Uncle Corey taught you well. Jake, you fucking traitor.
Hey, you're Jake in my book.
Yeah. Oh, I will say one positive.
You ain't going to say a goddamn thing. You said enough. No, you know what? I'm adopting you, and you can take Jake.
Just one positive. There's not a single "you're short" joke.
I know.
Oh,
yeah. That was something I was going to bring up. Yeah, somehow didn't make one.
No,
didn't
not
even
one.
Allude to it.
No, they didn't. They didn't. I think that's where they drew the line. Like, shit, you done no short jokes.
Hey, can I mention I'm short? No.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and do it. Don't. This part.
Yeah. One thing that bothered me though, like once he started, like he, so this is very nitpicky, but his beard and his hairline were all like messed up, and I guess because he was poor, so like he couldn't get a hairline, like a lineup or whatever. But then he started getting paid, and he never even like changed his clothes. Or, like, he seems like a very self-centered person that would do that.
Well, you know, he just got out of prison.
Yeah, no, she's talking about even when, like later in the movie, like when he cleaned up, he didn't. No, that's just his style. Yeah. Yeah, come on, you know, not your nitpicking.
I know,
man wear his nappy beard. The way he want to wear it. Let it be nappy as he want to be.
I know it was nitpicking, but it just bothered me the whole
time. Let him get that nappy goat thing going. Yeah.
Do you want an interesting fact, but not a fun fact?
No, Jake. It sounds like it's going to a bad place.
No,
Jake. I don't know why I don't want to do this.
Oh, yeah, I got to hear it now.
You asked for this.
The creepy neighbor is played by Mark Twain or Twan. I don't know what his full last name is. And he voiced Hercules in the Hercules Disney movie.
No one gives a fuck.
I'm sorry.
I mean, next time you give a fun fact, I want you to ask.
I said interesting fact.
I want you.
Fun.
It's not even interesting. I want you to ask one question. Does anybody give a shit? just ask that, and probably the answer gonna be no. I mean, am I right?
Yeah. Now I don't know who the creepy neighbor is. I know the one guy was Tate Donovan.
Tate Donovan. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Don't encourage anymore. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Oh, well, I appreciate the kids coming up here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we get the point of view of the youth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I appreciate that. I was going to find somebody going to agree with me.
What?
Dell made a mess. So I surrender.
JP. This is the moment.